Well, good morning, church. My name is Skylar Sanford. I'm one of the associate pastors here. And if you are visiting this morning, or even if you're here this morning, you picked a really good morning to be here because I'm doing something I don't often get to do here at the church. I'm preaching the word, and I'm excited to be doing that. For those of you who might know, I led worship for a long time here at the church, 3 years. That's a long time to me. And I loved it, and it was great. And now I'm just so blessed to be able to do what I get to do, to play the drums every Sunday. And it's a blessing for me with Eric and Elise. They're just phenomenal, and just I love the worship that they bring here. But when I got to do it, I really enjoyed the time that I had leading worship here at the church. And ironically enough, here I am speaking about the topic of worship. As you know, we've been going through Celebration of Discipline, this book right here, and we'll be talking about just the discipline of worship this morning. And of course, it's an area that, a passion of mine, an area that I love, and so I'm excited to be able to preach this morning. And when we often think of the term worship, we think about what? We think about singing songs. We think about, okay, the band's going to be here, and you know, you might be out there. You might think about clapping or raising our hands or just, you know, saying the words with our mouth. But worship is really so much more than just songs, so much more than just singing. There's actually all different ways that we worship throughout our day, throughout our week, whether we're at the workplace, if we're at school, if we are 10 years old or 70 years old or wherever, we worship in all different ways, in all different places, every single day. And it's a powerful thing when you really think about it, that every second of every day is an opportunity to worship God. We serve a God who we can access, who we can talk to, who we can connect with at any second of any day. And one way to do this is through worship. And so we'll focus on more than just singing. That is one way to worship, but we'll focus on things such as actions like serving, or worship through even giving of offering, worship through all different types of things. But really, the most important is worshiping God through obedience. Through being obedient to what he has called us to, what he asks us to do, which often is not easy, because a lot of times obedience involves a sacrifice. And so as we kind of jump in this morning, that's just kind of what I want to really preface all of this with, is at the end of all of this, of all the different ways that we can worship God, it all comes down to our heart and just being obedient to what he has called and genuinely doing that, things that he has called us to do. So I want to start this morning by reading this verse to you, 1 Chronicles 16:34. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." That's one that many of us have in all different translations memorized in our brains. But just give thanks. His love endures forever. And that's encouraging because we're going to go through life and we're going to have moments where we fall short. We're going to have moments where we just miss the mark. Maybe we do something that we weren't super proud of. It's going to happen to each and every one of us at some point in time. But what I love is that his love endures forever. And no matter what we do, no matter what happens, we serve a God that we can come back to. And as long as we ask with a genuine heart, he will forgive us. We lay that before him. We ask genuinely, we strive to make the change, and he forgives us. And so as we talk about worship this morning, again, in more than just the common way of maybe we might think of singing songs, getting the band together, having a good time, we really can be Jesus to those around us through this idea of worship. As I said, this can be at the workplace, this can be in the school, this can be at the gym. For those of you who know, I'm a big-time rock climber. 2 years ago, I got into rock climbing. Now, there's not a whole lot of mountains here in Des Moines, but there is a really awesome rock climbing gym in Grimes that I go to. I've been a part of it for the last couple of years. And I've been able to minister to people at the rock climbing gym, Climb Iowa in Grimes, Grimes, Iowa. It's crazy, but that's just an example. We have unique places, unique situations that we have been put into in our lives based on the things that we like to do, based on the hobbies that we have. Each one of us has a unique gift, or probably more than one gift, but unique places that we can use those gifts to serve God and to worship God. Really, I think those words are quite interchangeable when we think about it, and it all connects us to, again, the most important, which is obedience to God. Worship through obedience. So I want to dive in, show you guys some biblical examples of worship. And these are all different types of worship. We're going to start with the most obvious. But it's a story that we find in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 28. Paul and Silas, who were in prison, and just to preface this real quick before we read together, Paul and Silas are on, you know, they're out there telling people about Jesus. They're on, you know, this is their missionary journey that they're on. And we notice that they find themselves getting thrown into prison. And you might be thinking to yourself, oh, you know, they got thrown into prison. They must have done something pretty bad. You know, like, you know, did someone disagree with them and they got into a fight? No, they got thrown into prison because they casted a demon out of a girl. And the people who were around, some of the people that kind of like owned her or people that were making money off of her ability through this demon to tell the, you know, to read people's, interpret people's whatever and all that kind of stuff. Those people got upset. And because they got upset, they went and complained. And lo and behold, Paul and Silas end up in prison. Not because they did anything wrong, but because they were casting demons out of people. Now, I don't know about you, that seems like a good thing to me, to be casting demons out of people. But this girl had the ability, she was a fortune teller through this demon. And so the people that were making money off of her were quite upset. And they had Paul and Silas beaten, they had them flogged, and then they had them thrown into prison. And they had a jailer who was outside of their cell who was basically guarding them with his life. That being said, let's read together 25 here. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Okay, there's a miracle going on here. This is not normal. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword, was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And if that last part seems a little drastic, like, whoa, man, we went from 0 to 100 right there. You got to understand, in those times, the consequence for everybody just breaking free and leaving the prison, the consequence would have been that this jailer would have been killed, and probably not in a quick and easy way. And so that is why, that's his reasoning for what he was about to do there. But let's keep reading. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." And that right there, that strikes another conversation of their chains, you know, their doors were open, their chains were off. These guys could have just left. They were put into prison for reasons that weren't fair to them, but they understood. Paul and Silas understood what the consequence would be for this jailer if they just up and left. And so what do they do instead? They stay there. They stay there with him, and they end up talking with him, and he and his family end up accepting the Lord through the end of this story. And all of this is because they are, one, being obedient, not just to up and leave, do what they want, but to stay, to do what they felt the Lord had placed in their heart, and just really just to be obedient to what God had asked them to do. And so, as you said, they were singing songs, they were worshiping, and all of these things happened, and they were set free. And through the end of this, a man is led to Jesus, not just him, but his entire family. I'm going to read a page out of the book here. This is what it says. And again, this is talking about the priority of worship in our lives. It says the following: if the Lord is to be the Lord, worship must have priority in our lives. The first commandment of Jesus is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all of your strength. Mark 12:30, that comes out of. The divine priority is worship first, service second. Our lives are to be punctuated with praise, thanksgiving, and adoration. Service flows out of worship. So what I think when I read that is, we can do all this. I can play the drums every Sunday. I can come into the office and work. I can preach on a Sunday. But really, if I am not being spiritually fed in that, if I am not taking time to read the Word on my own, to develop my relationship further with Jesus on my own, I'm going to run dry. And that service is not going to be able to flow like it's supposed to. And it might even wind up in a place where my heart really isn't in the right place. So again, to maintain an ability to be obedient to the Lord and to have service flowing out of obedience to God, worship that comes from that place, we need to be taking time every day to spend some time with the Lord. I want to read another story for you, another form of worship, and this doesn't come through singing, this comes through offering, worship of giving, right? And so all these different ways that we talk about worship, really it's just ways that we are honoring God, that we are using our lives in some way to please God. When I think of worship, again, as long as it's coming from a place of obedience where our heart is genuine in the right place, these are the things that I think of. So I'm going to read this story. This is the story of the widow's offering out of Mark 12. And I want us to notice, what this woman gives. Let's read. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to read one story first. This is the woman in the alabaster jar. This is out of Luke 7. I got ahead of myself. A woman in the alabaster jar. This is the worship of serving. Right, we just talked about how really to be able to serve properly, we need to be filled up. We need to be spending that time with the Lord. And so let's go right now. This is a woman in the alabaster jar. This is an amazing story as well of service, of sacrifice. And it just really touches me. Let's read this. This is Luke 7, 36 through 38. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. 37 says this, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. Okay, now this type of perfume, for some historical context, would not have been believed to be very cheap. It would have been a higher quality, and so keep that in mind as we keep reading. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. That is humbling. That is obedience to what she felt she was supposed to do. She has laid herself right at the feet of Jesus. She is crying. She is wiping his feet. And again, for some more historical context, at this time, all the roads were dirt. They didn't have cars. They had animals. So they were, animals would do their business on the road and they would be walking in their sandals. And people's feet were disgusting. People's feet were nasty, right? And we even see Jesus demonstrate, where he washes his disciples' feet. But that's what we're seeing in this. Just what a humbling act of worship to say, Jesus, I will do this. And not only to say or think it, but to actually do it as we read in Luke chapter 7. Now I want to go down another form of worship, the widow's offering. Think of this story. Think of how much she gives. And at this point in time, for more historical context, widows would not have been people that had a ton of money. They would have, in those times, it was really the man that was the provider. And so if you were widowed, you often didn't have much resources at all. But let's read this story now. This is coming out of Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Verse 44, they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So what we see in this is that the quantity isn't necessarily what's the most important to God. The amount of money, if you're given $1 versus if you're given $1,000, it doesn't really work that way. With God, it all comes back to that one thing. All comes back to the heart of what we're doing, right? Are we being obedient to give what the Lord has put on our heart? Because if we're not, that becomes problematic. It becomes problematic, and we probably even feel that in ourselves. Sometimes we feel convicted, we know we were supposed to do something and we don't do it. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and wants to keep us on the right track. It's that little voice that we hear in our head sometimes, but a lot of times we can feel it right here. right in our heart. And God just wants us to give. He just wants us to be obedient to what he puts on our heart. And so we see this widow give all that she had. All that she had. You know, Malachi, there's a verse in Malachi that talks about, you know, tithing, which, you know, we give, you know, the tithes and the offerings, and the tithe is a tenth of the first tenth of what you make, right, at your job, the fruits that God blesses you with, right? This woman gives it all. She just gives it all. And that, to me, that just speaks volumes. Speaks volumes. And again, it comes out of a place of obedience, being willing to say, yes, God, I will do, I will give, I will say, I will pray for whoever you want. I will do whatever you ask me to do. And then one of the, probably the most touching, most powerful for me, I'll go to it in just a second, comes out of Genesis chapter 22. This is the one of the last different ways of worship that we'll focus on. There's a lot of different ways. We can't get to all of them in today's message, but this one talks about worship through, again, obedience, what I've been trying to focus on so far. Obedience even to the point where we're going to read about a guy named Abraham who was willing to sacrifice his son on an altar to God, to kill his son. That is what he was willing to do out of obedience for what the Lord had been asking him. Now, we're going to keep reading, and the ending doesn't end how you might think, but we're going to, let's just read this real quick. It says this, verse 9. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, at this time, Isaac wouldn't have been very old. In fact, might have been about Christian's age, sitting right here in the front. Jeremiah, imagine sacrificing your son, Christian. Think about it in your situation out there. Ask yourselves, how far am I willing to go to be obedient to God? Let's keep reading. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven. Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And I want to add to this, Abraham and his wife Sarah waited 25 years approximately for this son. And when Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth, and Abraham around 100. There were miracles that were happening all over the place. Never even looked like they were going to get this son. And then they do get him. God asked him to do this. I can't even imagine what would have been going through his mind, Abraham's mind, as he's thinking, okay, I'm really going to do this. But at the heart of what we see what? We see obedience, right? And God's going to honor your obedience. That's never going to be a problem. Okay, we serve a God who is going to come through for us 100% of the time. We are never going to have to worry, is he going to be there? Is he going to be on time? Is he going to show up? In his perfect timing, God will come and he will do exactly what we need him to do 100% of the time. We can depend on him. We can count on him. There's really no one else that we can put that in. Even, you know, reliable people in our life, maybe, you know, you have a parent or a boss, or maybe you have someone that's always been there for you, a best friend. At some point in time, that person somehow, some way is going to come up a little bit short. But we serve a God who never comes up short, who always is right there with us, standing right beside us through the Holy Spirit, or living inside of us through the Holy Spirit. We never have to worry about that. And so when we put our faith in someone like that, the sky's the limit. There's no end. I mean, there's no end to his power. There's no end to his reign. Someday we're going to be with him as well, and we'll get to worship through, you know, the singing and the dancing and probably all these other ways as well. And it's going to be an absolutely incredible time. But I just love Abraham's faith to say yes, to say, God, I'll do it. I will sacrifice my son if that's what you want. And of course, it wasn't actually what God wanted. He wouldn't have allowed that. He just wanted to see, hey, is Abraham really willing to be faithful to me? Because if you read the story, if we go backwards in the story, Abraham had several pretty severe flubs where he didn't put his, he didn't have faith in God properly, and he wasn't being obedient. And so God needed to use this as a test to kind of get him back on track. Let's read another excerpt out of this this book. Again, this is Celebration of Discipline. We've been going through this in our series. At page 158, we're going to read this. It says, "Worship is our response to the overtures of love from the heart of the Father. Its central reality is found in spirit and truth. It is kindled within us only when the Spirit of God touches our human spirit. Forms and rituals do not produce worship, nor does the disuse of forms and rituals. We can use all the right technique and methods, but we have not worshiped the Lord until spirit touches spirit." It goes back to this issue of the heart that I was talking about, and also kind of the problem with going through the motions, as sometimes we hear in the Christian world. It can be really easy, or even for all of us, it can be really easy to wake up, put on your clothes, brush your teeth, go to work, do your 9 to 5, come back home, go to sleep, next day, wake up. It can get really easy to just kind of go through the everyday, but something I want to encourage you to do is to think of it more like this. For me, and this is just a personal example, every night when I lay my head on the pillow, I want to be able to ask myself and say yes to the question, did I make an impact today? How did I positively affect someone today? Did I tell anybody about Jesus today? Were my actions reflecting Jesus today? I want to be able to ask myself that question every night when I lay my head on the pillow, and I want to be able to say yes, right, to the majority of those questions. I want to be able to get a yes out of that. And so think about that. Maybe apply that to your way of thinking. How can you be the light of Jesus Christ? How can you worship Jesus Christ, right, through obedience and truth from a place of just trueness in your heart? How can you do that in your situations, where you're at work, at school, at wherever it is? How can you do that? Because we all have unique ways that we can, and we're all in different situations. The way that you minister to somebody, for example, you might be able to connect to somebody that I'll never meet as long as I'm alive. Through me, that person would probably never come to Jesus, but through you, there's a chance. We're all in unique situations just like that to be able to spread the truth of Jesus, and in doing that, worship, show a true heart of worship towards him as well. And so worship really all comes back to the heart that we've been talking about, having a heart of obedience, right? Because we could do all the things that I've talked about so far. We could, we could give our offering. We could serve others. We could serve in the church. We could be the greatest employee at our job. We could be the best person, the greatest helper in the family, all that kind of stuff. We could do all those things. But at the end of the day, if we're not willing to bring it all back to having a heart of obedience towards doing what the Lord wants us to do, to saying yes. And sometimes it's scary to say yes. It takes a step of faith to say yes. But if we're not willing to do that, then all those other things are kind of for naught. All those other things, I mean, people will recognize, okay, you're a nice person, you're a good person, you're a good guy, that's great. But if we're not willing to tie it all back to Jesus somehow, and to give those people a reason for our joy, a reason for why we do what we do, it's kind of all wasted in a way, because people won't hear the truth. They won't get a chance to be connected to what we are connected to have that relationship with Jesus. And a lot of times it doesn't even involve going up to somebody and giving them the whole evangelism speech. A lot of times it's just living like Jesus, treating people properly. And at some point in time, I guarantee you, they will say these words to you, because I've heard them said to me. People will have said, "Skylar, how are you so patient? Skylar, why are you such a nice person? Skylar, how are you so whatever?" Fill in the blank, right? With a positive thing, hopefully. And I look at them, and for there was a while, I remember my younger time, I would just say, it's just kind of how I am, But what I do now, in the last couple of years, what I do is I just say, I point them towards basically the fruit of the Spirit. I say, I just want to be Jesus to those who are around me. I just want to treat people like Jesus did. Those are the sentences that I try to get out there, because that can start a conversation, or not. Maybe not, but if it doesn't, there's a good chance you've planted a seed. People are going to be like, they might start to wonder, like, how does that work? Like, what do you mean you want to be like Jesus? Like, how is Jesus? Oh, let me tell you. You give them the whole gospel message then. But doors will open simply by the way that we act towards others, especially when we are trying to center ourselves around the concept of being obedient to the Lord in worship. And again, all different forms of worship. Because all this comes back to one thing. It all comes back, it centers around, again, the condition of the heart. Where is our heart at? God, and only you can answer that. That's between you and the Lord. But I think you can get there. You can have a conversation with God, obviously at any point in time, but really when you're spending time with him, if it's in the morning, if it's at night, but through the reading of your Bible, through just through prayer. We've talked a lot about not just talking to God when you're praying, but also listening. That's how you can come to a place where you can really discover, where's my heart at? You know, and God, what plans do you have for me? Because with the busyness of life, with all this stuff going on, a lot of times it can be really easy to get caught in going through the motions at your job or wherever it is. There's so much going on. Oh, I got to do this. I got to, I got to go to this game over here, and then I got to whatever. We're all over the town. I mean, I remember when I was driving a school bus, I was all over the town all the time. And I was a part-timer, but I was working 50 hours a week sometimes, and it was a busy point in life. And I remember I really had to be careful not to let that affect my spiritual relationship, the time I spend with the Lord. Because, there would be times where I'm waking up at 5 a.m. to get ready for my job. Sometimes I'm not getting home until 11 because I worked a field trip or something like that. Now, we all have situations that are going to arise that are going to be similar to that. But the most important thing, again, it all comes back to where's your heart at? And I want my heart to be in a place where I can say, God, I just want to serve you. I just want to be obedient to you. And it's not easy. With your flesh, you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. But if you find that place in your heart where you can really just say, God, this is what I want. I just want to be obedient. It becomes achievable when you allow him to walk beside you and to help you through that process. So the question I want to ask is this. How's your heart? Think about that to yourself. How's your heart? And I'm not talking about high blood pressure or cholesterol. Some of us, that's a thing. But we're talking about spiritually, right? We're talking about, are you spending that time with him in the morning, at night, during the day? It can be in the car, singing worship songs, praying. There's all different ways that we can connect with him. All different steps we can take to get ourselves, to get our hearts in check, so to speak. So just ponder that. How's your heart? And if you are thinking to yourself, well, you know what? My heart's maybe not in the right place. Maybe there are some things I need to do. What's step one? Well, let me read you what step one is. It comes out of our book. Again, Celebration of Discipline. And it says the following. And again, this is really a phenomenal book. It walks you through all different types of the disciplines of life, things that are just going to help keep you on the right path and give you good knowledge. But this is what it says here, steps into worship. First, learn to practice the presence of God daily. Okay, this is something Pastor Matt has, if he said it once, he said it a million times, but finding a time where we can get into the Word and spend time with him every day. Really try to follow Paul's words, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Punctuate every moment with inward whisperings of adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. Have personal times of inner worship and confession and Bible study and attentiveness to Christ, your present teacher. I want to play a song. In just a second, we'll play this song. This is a song I actually heard for the first time ever in Trinidad. As many of you know, I'm someone who loves missions. I travel all over the world. I've been blessed to do that. I've been to places like India, Cambodia, Costa Rica, Thailand, Trinidad, Mexico. I've been all over the place just to be able to tell people about Jesus. And it's really a great joy of mine. But I went to Trinidad in 2019, as well as just this past summer. But I remember the first time I was there, I heard this song. And I'm telling you what, there isn't a song that summarizes what we've talked about today better than this song. And it doesn't even use that many words to do it. Really, he's just singing the same thing over and over and over again, honestly. But it's so, so powerful. And so I want you to listen to these words, and I want you to let them just sink in, and if you sit in your chair and just let process this. But something else that's really cool about this song, and if you know anything about me, you know that I'd find a song that had this in it, but this song's also going to have a little part in Spanish. And there might not be any Spanish speakers out in the audience today, that's all right, but what I love about that is we can worship God in any language that exists. We serve a God who understands and speaks all languages, and that really brings us all together in the body of Christ as well. So we're going to play this song. Just let these words sink in, and I'm telling you what, nothing summarizes today's message better than this song.
Away, away from the noise, alone with you. Away, away to hear your voice and meet with you. Nothing else matters, my one desire to worship you. I live to worship you. I live to worship you.
One reason is to worship you, Lord. I pray this morning that these words would have sunk in, God, that these words of this song, that we want to be obedient to you, God. We want to live to worship you, that nothing else matters, God. We could do all the other things in the world, and there's so much to do in this world, and a lot of those are enjoyable things that aren't bad. They're quite good. But God, we want to focus on what's most important. We want to worship you with our lives through singing, God, through offering, through faithfulness, through serving, God. We want to serve you. We want to worship you in all different ways. So, Lord, would you strengthen us this morning, God, as we leave this place? Would you be with us every step that we take, God, every place that we go? Might we carry you with us? Might we carry your light, your truth? God, might we give hope to those who are around us through our actions, God, but through really our obedience to you. We just want to serve you, God. We just want to worship you through obedience, through a place in our heart that is pure. God, we just want more of you. And so we say it again, Lord, we live to worship you. And we thank you for the blessings that you have given us, that you continue to give us, God. Take us from this place today in safety, in health, God. Carry us each and every place that we go. And Lord, might we just remember, that no matter what we do, what we could ever do or say or think, anything we could ever, any crime or act we could ever commit that might separate or cause there to be a division, God, in our own lives, might we never forget that you are always with us and that you love us and you take us back. All we have to do is ask, God, and you are there. You are in our situation and you forgive us and you give us a new chance, a new life, a new opportunity, a new even ministry, God. You give us new chances and we praise you for that. So take us from this place today, God. Be with us as we go. We thank you for what you're doing. And we praise you, God. Might our lives be focused on obedience to you. Because, God, we live to worship you. We thank you for what you're doing. And everybody says, amen.